UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs that are?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is
matched.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How are you, my friends? We have the pleasure of Indy this episode, coming to us from North Carolina, and she will be sharing her lifelong experiences with UFOs and ET contact, starting in infancy. She has had UFO sightings, several dream not dreams of being on board ships with the Greys, screen memories, beings physically in her home witnessed by Indy and her partner, and her involvement in the hybrid program. Indy up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Indy, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. It's great for you coming on today, and you're calling from North Carolina.
Yes, that's right, down on the coast.
Indy, you're going to be sharing lifelong encounters with UFOs and ET contact. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please?
Yeah, so I lived in Ararat, North Carolina, when I was really little. We lived there until I was about 4 years old. And a lot happened while I was there. I was only aware of a little bit until recently. But basically, what I was always told growing up from my mom was that she was out in the yard hanging up clothes on the clothesline. And all of a sudden, a huge triangular UFO came right over her and hovered right over her. And she was, you know, kind of transfixed on this thing. She didn't know where it came from. It was very sudden. And she was staring up at the bottom of this UFO, and she doesn't know how long she was there. She doesn't remember anything afterwards. She just remembers like kind of feeling disoriented after that experience. And she would tell us this story many times when we were kids, and it was kind of just accepted in our family that there is more out there, that there are, you know, beings from other planets here. And it was never really questioned. And looking back at it, you know, my dad never really questioned that either. He kind of, you know, normally he'll kind of poke fun at stuff that is out of this world, out of the ordinary. But he never poked fun at the story that my mom would tell about this UFO experience. And looking back, that was kind of odd. So come to find out later, he actually had several experiences around that time too. I'm going to come back to this because I found out quite a bit more later, but that's where it all started, was when I was an infant, actually. So 1987, 1988 were the main years that things were going on there. There were a lot of UFO sightings in that neighborhood in general. A lot of the neighbors were talking about it. So yeah, so not sure everything that happened then, but that's where it started. And then when I was four, we moved to a town called Blacksburg, Virginia. This is where Virginia Tech is. If you're familiar, it's like a university and it's in the middle of the mountains. Beautiful, beautiful place. So at that point, I was four. So this is when I started having like conscious memories. And in general, I was a super sensitive kid. Like I picked up on energies from other people, energies from places, had a lot of paranormal experiences when I was younger. My siblings did as well. And that was kind of just like par for the course for us. We have a home place out in Stuart, Virginia. It's like this old, it used to be a boarding school, and then the boarding school burned down and my grandparents lived in the girls' dorm area, and then the boys' dorm area was for storage, and there was a lot of paranormal activity out there. So, you know, I've always kind of been aware of things on the other side of the veil, if that makes sense. Yeah, so growing up, just kind of like different experiences. I will say, when I was younger, I always had this fear of going to sleep. And I actually still have kind of a nervousness when I'm falling asleep. And I had basically a phobia when I was younger of intruders coming into the house. And we had never had break-ins in our house. Like it was a safe, you know, neighborhood. We had never had that happen. But even as a little kid, I was like terrified of going to sleep and something happening while I was sleeping. And looking back, I'm kind of realizing like, okay, there actually were things happening. But yeah, so I was not aware of why I was so nervous at the time. But in 2009, it was late in the summer in 2009, my boyfriend at the time and I were driving back towards my parents' house. And we were coming down the road that we lived on, and there was a golf course off to the right and then houses on the left. And right when we turned onto our road, I saw this orb of light, and it was, I said in the email that it was about the size of like two Jeeps put together, but it was an orb, it was a round orb, and it was like a orange, white, yellow kind of color. And it was hovering over the golf course, and then it shot off to the right over the hill, and we couldn't see it anymore, and didn't make a noise that we could hear. We were in the car at the time, but then it shot back, and another one joined it, and we flew down the road, got my brother, who was at my parents' house at the time, got him to come outside and watch this with us. So my boyfriend, my littlest brother, and myself were all watching this happen, and it lasted for a few minutes where they would kind of do this dance of like disappearing, coming back. Yeah. So that was the first time that I had consciously seen something like that. And it was really, I mean, it was beautiful. And any orb that I've seen, basically what it looks like, and there have been, this one was kind of orangish, whitish, but it looks like there's frosted glass on the outside and then light is coming through it. So I've heard a lot of your guests say that the light doesn't illuminate on the trees or the ground or whatever. And I've had the same experience with the orbs that I've seen. And it kind of looks like it's thick frosted glass with a bright light coming through that. So it's almost like a softer light in some way. So that was the first one. And then later that year, I also, my littlest brother, he has always been kind of obsessed with UFOs. And he had a whole bunch of experiences in a short period of time around this time, probably for about 3 years. He had seen, you know, one after another. But he called me one night and he was in a neighborhood not too far from where I was at the time. And he was like, you've got to come here now. You have to see this. And I got over there and he had told me that he watched basically this. And now I may not be remembering all of the details exactly as he told me. It was quite a while ago, but he said that these lights were all together in certain formation. I'm not sure if it was triangular or what, but they all came together and then they shot in different directions and they were like discs and they went in different directions and they were hovering over this part of town, but they were hovering over my brother and his friend. And they were discs, maybe the size of like dining room, like a round dining room table. But it was, he said that he watched them cloak themselves, essentially. Like, he didn't use that terminology then, but, you know, hearing more about UFOs now, it sounds like they were cloaking themselves, but they stayed hovering, like, over this general area of town. And by the time I got there, I was able to see probably three or four of them hovering. And it looked like the bottom of the disc, kind of a half bowl shape, sort of, but it looked like it was mirroring back the sky. It's really hard to explain, but it was almost like it was mirroring the sky so that it would blend in, but you could still see them. And then we watched them for quite a while. I was probably there for 20 or 30 minutes just watching them, and they slowly faded until you couldn't see them anymore. I didn't see them like shoot off or anything like that. They just slowly faded until you couldn't see them. That was really, really interesting. Another time, so there's a road from in the town over from Blacksburg. There's a town called Christiansburg, and there's a road that runs from Christiansburg into Radford called Pepper's Ferry Road. And I was coming down Pepper's Ferry heading towards Radford and saw probably 15 or 20 what looked like balls of fire in the sky. But I think that they were orbs, like similar to what I have seen, but this was pretty far off. So I wasn't really close to it, but I saw probably 15 to 20 orbs of like bright orange, pink, yellow kind of color. And when I think back to it, like where they were placed, they were probably right about where the arsenal is. So there's a huge arsenal in Radford. And so I've heard that they kind of can get curious about arsenal areas. And that was about where they were. So I don't know if that was connected or not, and I watched them for quite a while. I ended up having to go, I don't know if I was going to work or what, but I couldn't stay and watch. But yeah, that one was really interesting. So this next one was probably the most intense sighting that I've had and close up encounter that I'm aware of, but it was in the fall of 2017 and I was with my friend. I'm just going to call him Tom because I don't know if he would want me saying his name, but Tom and I were out. We used to go up to this observatory out near Mountain Lake where they filmed the movie Dirty Dancing. And there's like this beautiful stone hotel up at the top of the mountain. There's like hiking trails. It's really gorgeous up there. And on your way up the mountain on the left, there's this observatory and it's essentially like a big deck sticking off of the side of like a steep hill that goes into a valley. And if you're on the observatory and you're looking down the mountain, then there's Giles County. So if any of your listeners are familiar with this, this was right over Giles County. And so it was a really clear night. The moon was out. The stars were absolutely beautiful. There's really no light pollution up there. And it was eerily quiet. Like normally when we were out there, we would have cars coming by here and there because there's this hotel up at the top of the mountain. And usually there would be at least one or two people coming out to the observatory for periods of time. But we didn't see anyone that night. And it was just like eerily quiet. It was very weird. But we were watching, we were just kind of looking at the stars, and over by the moon, there was this star, what I thought was a star, kind of below the moon. And it looked like it was getting bigger. And I just kind of kept an eye on it for a couple minutes. And eventually I was like, that is definitely getting bigger. I'm not sure what that is. So I mentioned it to my friend Tom and was like, hey, do you see that light over there? It looks like it's getting bigger. And he said, yeah, but I wasn't going to say anything. So we just watched it for quite a while. And what it ended up being, well, it got closer and closer, and it came over like ridge after ridge after ridge until eventually it was like right in front of us. And it was very strange because it was almost like whoever was manning this craft, or I don't know if they were manning the craft or like, or somehow controlling it from like another craft or what, I don't know, but it's like they knew that Tom and I were up on the observatory and saw us from like many, many ridges over, and slowly made its way closer to us. So as this was happening, I was super transfixed. Like, I was so curious and really excited to watch what was going to happen. I didn't feel any fear about this. I was just really excited about it. And when it got closer, it was basically a huge orb that was pink, orange, white. It was kind of like, it's a color that I have never seen other than with these orbs, but it was quite large. If you look from the left to the right, like through the center line, it would probably be as wide as like a bus, like a tour bus. So it was pretty big. And again, it looked like this pink, orange, white light was kind of shining through this thick frosted glass is what it appears like. And there were no other markings, like no flashing lights, no seams that I could see, no metal or anything. It was just like this orb of light, but it was definitely a craft. It was solid. It got about probably 150 yards away and was hovering right in front of us. And my friend Tom freaked out and was, we've got to go. And he started running towards the car, and I was the one who drove. So like, I couldn't leave him hanging, you know? So I ran to the car, started the car. I was kind of bummed out about it because I really wanted to see, you know, what was going to happen there. But I got in the car. As soon as we pulled into the road and started going down, you kind of go around kind of like a, I don't know, gradual bend in the road. And then there's a sharp right curve. As we were in that first sharp right curve, another craft, same kind, but it wasn't the same one. It was another one. It came up behind. It was waiting. I swear to God, it was waiting for us behind this ridge that was kind of over to our left. And it came up and came over the car, and it was huge. I mean, you know, we were in like this little gray Volvo, and this orb was much larger. Like I said, it was about the same size as the other one, probably from like one side to the other was about the size of a tour bus. And it came right over the car, and I didn't hear anything this whole time. I didn't hear anything while we were outside of the car with the other orb that came closer. And I didn't hear anything with this one that came over the car, but Tom and I both kind of felt this really eerie feeling, and Tom was freaking out, and I felt the energy shift. And again, like I said, I'm like really sensitive to energy shifting, and it was like this really intense shift in energy, and then it felt like this super strong magnetic pull, almost like Tom and I were magnets, and whatever this was above us was the other magnet kind of pulling us up. But we weren't aware of actually like being lifted up. We just felt this very odd magnetic sensation, and especially around the top of our head, but it's like our whole bodies felt like magnets. And then I asked Tom, I was like, are you feeling this? And he said, yeah. And he was like, we just need to get home. And then I don't remember anything after that until I have no idea how much time passed either, honestly, but all I know, because it was dark when we were up at the observatory, and it was dark when I got back. So who knows? I really didn't check my watch or anything. But when this craft was over us and I kind of blacked out, I became aware again as I was pulling into his driveway down in Blacksburg, which is about a 25-minute drive. And I did not remember anything about the drive from the mountain to his house. And that was definitely, the strangest one, I would say, as far as how close they got and how strange it felt. Now, it was weird because Tom and I really didn't talk much about it after it happened. It was kind of like, okay, that was really weird. Not sure what that was. We did see like some strange lights in the sky that who knows what they were. It could have been something else, but we did kind of keep our eyes to the sky for a little while after that. And we did see some strange things, but nothing like that night out at the observatory. So now I called Tom recently just to like confirm with him that I'm remembering things the same way. You know, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't forgetting anything or remembering anything incorrectly. And he still remembers it the same way that I did. But he also told me that later that year when he went for the holidays with his mom, he was hanging out at his mom's house and light, just like this bright light, completely filled their house. And then he and his mom both, they don't remember anything after that, like what happened with that. So I think that Tom might be an experiencer as well. But I'm not gonna really say anything about that to him. I'll let him kind of, you know, go on his own journey with that. Now, there were some other weird things that were going on. That was in 2017. I lived in this little house in Blacksburg for about 5 years, and I lived there by myself. And there were all kinds of weird things that happened in that house, paranormal activity every night, no matter what time I went to lay down. It was like right after I lay down, there would be like all this banging and clanging in the back of the house with metal pipes and stuff. And it wouldn't happen during the day. It was only when I would lay down. I heard like footsteps in the house, strange things in that house. But let's see, in 2019, I moved to Wilmington, North Carolina, and this is down on the East Coast, kind of close to South Carolina. Moved down here, and about 3 months after I moved here, COVID hit. So we were outside a lot, just out in nature a lot. It was really, really nice. But I will say my stress levels were super high with all of this COVID stuff. And kind of not really sure what's going on here. And on January 6th, there was like a major political event here in America. And that night I was like completely freaking out. And all of a sudden I went from like panic attack mode to it was strange. I was sitting on the couch and I felt this energy flow in through my crown and like fill my entire body with this calming energy. I don't know how to explain it, but it was like completely calming. It completely settled my system down and it grounded me. So if you're familiar with grounding with like yoga or meditation or whatever, you know, feeling kind of really in your body and fully settled and grounded and like connected to the earth, it's a much better space to be than kind of, at least for me, than like up in my head and kind of floating around. So it grounded me. It really calmed me down and my stress level immediately came down. And it was interesting because it was kind of like this spontaneous healing that happened and I didn't know where it came from, but it settled me down. And that night, like right after this spontaneous healing from I don't know who, right after that, I was led to channeled material from three different places. So I was like on Instagram and was watching this Russell Brand video and he was chanting and that was really nice. And normally I don't like sit through and watch a whole video, but a few suggestive videos came up under that. And it was three different people who were channeling different beings from different places. And it was just very strange because I had never seen anything like this, heard of anything like this. But right after this spontaneous healing, I was kind of led to this channeled material and I got really interested in like extra dimensional kind of extraterrestrial, extra dimensional, whatever you want to call it, beings kind of making contact with people through meditative experiences, channeling, etc. So I got really interested in that and started watching interviews with Ed on Gaia. And that was mind blowing, really beautiful, beautiful show. His interviews and the people he interviews are amazing. So I had become aware that like there are other ways to communicate with these beings, and was really curious, because as soon as I started hearing about quote unquote star seeds, people who had had lives on other planets, immediately it resonated with me. And I was like, that sounds really familiar. And on November 11th, 2021, I had an Akashic Records reading done by a woman here in Wilmington. And she had come to me for as a client through my business. And we ended up trading, and she did Akashic Records readings. And in that reading, she told me about some past lives and things. And it was really interesting. At the end of the session, I asked about, hey, I'm curious if there's anything in the records about me having lived lives on other planets. And immediately she started channeling through that I've lived lives on many other planets, that I go up onto ships every 6 to 8 days. So I was not expecting that. Like I was, I have never had an awareness of going up on ships before this time. And so I was kind of shocked and didn't really know what to think about it. And I was kind of like, well, that's a lot to take in. I'm not really sure if that's accurate or not. And I kind of just put it down.
The 40th Film Festival is a new celebration of cinema, created by people who have a passion for all things weird and paranormal. The current season is now open for submissions. Get involved if you're a filmmaker that has a penchant for poltergeists and adores aliens, or if you're a producer devoted to demonology, with a soft spot for sci-fi. The deadline for submissions to this IMDb-approved festival is fast approaching. Go to www.fortianfilmfestival.com to submit your film or buy tickets, if you dare.
I went to go visit a couple of friends of mine had come in from Virginia, and they were coming in just for a couple of days. So I went down to Oak Island to have dinner with them. And this was the same night, November 11th, went down, grabbed some food. I had a sound bath that I was heading to after this, but I had about 20 minutes to spare before I had to leave for the sound bath. And I had this really strong pull to go to a specific spot on the beach down at 70th. Yeah, it was strange. Like it was on the other side of the island. So like I was further west on the island, and I would have to go back to the east side of the island to go to this spot on the beach that I was really being drawn to for whatever reason. And it really didn't make much sense, because I could have just gone straight across the island and been at the beach. But I ended up just following my intuition, went down. And as soon as I parked my car, I noticed a really big light over the ocean. And I hadn't even gotten out onto the beach yet. And I was like, huh, interesting. Don't know what that is. So I walked out onto the beach. And the closer I got to this light in the sky, it was really strange. And it's hard to explain. It looked like it was spinning incredibly fast. And then it was flashing lights, like it would flash between white and red and green and white and red and green. But as it was spinning, it was like lines of light coming off of the side of whatever this was that was spinning, and it would kind of come off, and then the light would shoot in a 90 degree angle. Light does not go in 90 degrees like that. Like, it shoots straight off to one side, but it was kind of, it's hard to explain. It was kind of lines of light. It wasn't big light kind of, it wasn't like a spotlight. It was like thin lines of light shooting off to the right and then shooting up from there. So I'm watching this and I couldn't tell exactly what I was looking at. And I called my partner and I kind of joked with him. I was, haha, I might get abducted tonight if anything happens. I'm watching this really strange light over the ocean. And he was, oh, cool, get some videos. So took out my phone, got some videos. And it was weird when I looked at it later that night when I got home. I had taken several videos and I had tried to take pictures as well. When I got home, there were only two short videos, and I had taken probably 9 or 10 of them, 9 or 10 short clips. And then I had also taken pictures. There were only two short videos on my phone when I got home. They did show the spinning orb and kind of whatever was, and it would get really big and then really small and really big and really small. It was coming closer. I don't know exactly. And so it was very strange. My phone has never done that where I've taken videos and then they just disappear. Well, 2 days later, several more videos showed back up on my phone from that night. So it was gone for 2 days and then it popped back up as if like I had taken them 2 days later, but I hadn't. It was all from the same night. So that was really strange. When I went back to watch the videos, you can see the spinning orb and you can see the light shooting off and the white and the green and red. But what was really weird was there were no clouds except for this one huge cloud that was right below this spinning orb. And there was this huge cloud that was right on the horizon. So it was kind of right down on the ocean. And when I went back and watched the videos, there was all kinds of weird purple flashes of light behind this cloud. Now, there were also two fishing boats back behind this cloud somewhere too. So I don't know like what lights could have been coming from the fishing boats, but it was strange. They were like purple lights and it looked like it was flashing at all different areas behind this huge cloud. And in one of the videos, you can see this, it looks like a purple light comes out of the ocean and then hovers, and it's still partially behind the cloud, but it's all the way to the right. So you can still see where this light comes out of the ocean, hovers, it comes up, it bounces almost a little bit and it's hovering. And then there's purple flashes behind it. So saw that. And then that night after the sound bath, I went home and I was, wow, what a weird day. You know, like this Akashic Records reading was really intense. And then I see a UFO right after that. And it was almost, I was being kind of prepared. And, you know, even from January on, like I was being prepared for all of this to start ramping up and become more conscious of what was happening. But that night I went to sleep and had what I didn't know what to call this, but I kept calling it a dream, not dream. So I put it in the dream category because I didn't have any other category to put it in. But it was not a dream. It was something else. And in this dream, not dream, I was in a ship, and the same kind of light, like kind of soft, but still bright light, coming through like frosted glass kind of look on the inside of this ship. And it was like round. It was like this big round room. And there was a being in front of me. And he had like this big head that he had like this kind of really narrow chin. And his eyes were huge, like almond shaped eyes. So your typical gray. I did not know what grays look like at this time, but it was now that I know, I'm like, okay, that was definitely a gray, but like big black eyes. And he was thin and he had four fingers and he was holding four fingers on each hand. And he was holding this plant and it looked like a corn plant almost, like a cob of corn, but it was way bigger. It was more bulbous, really big. And then it was lime green instead of yellow. And the kernels were like way bigger. and it was peeled down or whatever. And he was showing me this plant, and then he was telepathically communicating with me. He wasn't moving his mouth, but I could understand everything he was telling me, no problem. And it wasn't like hearing a voice. It was thoughts being implanted in some way. It's really hard to describe, but so as he's showing me this plant, he's saying something about the humans and the masks. And then that's all I remembered. And I woke up and I was like, well, that was weird. That was strange, you know? So that was kind of the first time that I had become aware that something more was going on. Maybe I should look into this. And I ended up reporting this sighting to MUFON, and I sent in the videos and everything to the person who ended up getting back to me later. But I filled out this whole questionnaire and told them what I saw, sent the videos. But Sev Talk ended up reaching out to me, and she's an experiencer that's been on your podcast, obviously, and on many other podcasts. And she, I had already heard a couple of her interviews. And she reached out to me, and that was really cool to hear from her. But I ended up sending her the videos. She watched them and helped me kind of understand what was going on, because there was a lot going on, and I was starting to put pieces together that there has been a lot happening for a long time. So she has helped me kind of process all of this, and she's been just beautiful and amazing. So shortly after that, we were... So this happened on November 11th, and I was thinking a lot about it and like kind of reading more about UFO experiences and stuff like that. I found your show and started listening religiously, went back through the archives, and was really getting curious about all of this. And we were heading down to my family's house in Stewart, or the home place I had mentioned before, for Thanksgiving. A few days before we left, I called my sister and asked her if there was anything else that she remembered from that time when we lived in Arap. I was a baby. She was about 5 at the time. And when I asked her that, she legitimately started hyperventilating, bawling her eyes out. And she said, "I'm so sorry." I just got flooded with this memory. I did not remember this until just now. And she said, "I was little and you were like a baby and you were in your crib and mom wasn't in the house." So I'm wondering if this was the time when like mom was out in the yard, but my sister was with me in this bedroom. And she said that lights filled the house and she saw this tall, shadowy being silhouetted in the light. It was this tall being with this big head. She said that she didn't see other ones behind him, but she somehow knew that there were like several others behind him. And she also said that he didn't talk out loud, but that she somehow knew that he was specifically looking for me. And she ran to the toy box and like jumped in the toy box and closed the lid. She was terrified, legitimately terrified. But as she saw this being, she said that it walked over to the crib where I was laying, and she had jumped in the toy box and closed the lid. So that was really kind of like jarring to hear, but she was really panicking, like remembering this event that happened when she was little. She said that it was something that would come up every once in a while when she was a kid, and she would just kind of like stuff it down, like, nope, you know, not dealing with this. But when I asked her, you know, last year, it all flooded back at once. So that was interesting to hear. And then when we were heading down, we had about a 4 or 5 hour drive from Wilmington to Stewart. And as soon as we were leaving the house, I got this flash in my mind. It was like a vision of us getting in a car accident. And in the last year, I've been getting more visions, hearing things that I haven't heard before, and I'll get more into that later. But I didn't know what to make of this vision. I just kind of thought to myself, like, oh, it's probably just some anxiety about being on the road around the holidays and there's people everywhere or whatever. So we got on the road, and a few hours later, it was getting dark, and we were driving down the road. And the next thing I know, this huge buck with big rack of antlers ran right in front of my car. And I was going like 65 or 70 miles an hour. And this buck ran right in front of the car. We obviously hit it, obliterated this poor animal. And he was so beautiful. I felt horrible that I hit him, but he died instantly. Like he literally, you know, he was in two pieces and his head was kind of attached to the front of the car. My hood flipped up. The rest of him went, I guess, over back behind the car. But my hood flipped up and then smoke was everywhere. And I couldn't see anything. It was me, my partner, and our little pit bull in the back. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see how to like get off the road, but somehow I safely got off the road, jumped out of the car, grabbed my dog and ran because we thought it was on fire. And it wasn't fully on fire, but there was a lot of smoke and nothing ended up exploding, thankfully. But we jumped out of the car. Everybody was okay, but it was very, very jarring. And it was kind of like a holy shit, we just almost died. And if anything had gone differently during that car accident, if I had seen the deer earlier and had swerved, I probably would have swerved into traffic, or I, you know, could have gone spinning and flipping and all of that. So there's no telling, but because of how it happened and because the hood flipped up, we all made it completely unscathed. But that night, my dad came and picked us up off the side of the road and took us back to the home place. And everybody was kind of in shock because, you know, it was a pretty shocking experience. And they were just way more open. And I had all this UFO stuff on my mind. So I just started asking the family, like, hey, guys, I know this is weird, but what do you guys remember about what happened in Arap when I was a baby, like that kind of stretch of time? And they started opening up to me about all kinds of stuff. So one, my mom told me more about the UFO and that it was so big that it blocked out the sky. And there were lights on all three corners. And she said that it didn't really make a noise. It wasn't there. And then it was there. And then she doesn't remember like how long she was standing looking up at the UFO and then it was gone. And then she just remembers walking back to the house kind of disoriented. And then my dad mentioned that there were a lot of UFO sightings in the neighborhood during this time. Now in Ararat, it's kind of placed in this weird spot in the mountains where it's like a bowl. It's like a bowl of mountains and you're kind of down in this bowl. And there's weird nature anomalies. It would create like a wind tunnel and people would get struck by lightning on a fairly often basis. So it was just kind of a strange natural place. And I'm curious if that, I don't know, I'm curious about why they were there so much during that time, but it may have been because they could have hidden more easily. It was very rural. There was not a lot of people out there and, you know, big steep mountains, and the town was kind of down in this mountain. So anyways, the whole neighborhood was talking about all these lights that they were seeing and they were wondering like, oh, maybe it's military, who knows, I don't know, whatever. But Dad said that on multiple occasions, our house would fill with light, with this bright light where it was so bright, you couldn't even see your hand, you know, like it was just the whole house would be completely full of light. And then they don't know how long it lasted. And then they don't remember anything afterwards. And they didn't feel scared about it. I asked multiple times, I was, well, you know, like when this happened, would you run back and check on the kids? What was going on there? And they said, no, like it was just really, really strange. Like we didn't feel any fear. It was just this weird thing that would happen from time to time. And it was disorienting, you know, but they were more like curious and fascinated about it. But it happened at least three times that the house filled up with light. And that's from what my parents remember. And then I think there was another time while my mom was out in the lawn hanging up clothes and me and my sister were in the house. That probably would have been a fourth time. My dad was not there at the time. That was really weird to hear about. And my mom said that her first memory as a three-year-old was of this tall, really tall man. And it was like a shadowy figure. And she was out on the stoop of her mom's house in Flint, Michigan. She was out on the stoop and this tall shadow figure was behind her. between her and the house, which was only like 6 feet away. But somehow he had just kind of appeared behind her. And she said that he always thought that he had a big top hat on, but she's not sure that if that's just kind of how her brain filled in the details, but he had a large, either a large head or a large hat on his head. She said that he didn't say anything to her with his mouth, but she could hear him in her head and he was looking for her mom. So whatever this thing was, and whatever like all of this is connected with, I believe that it's all connected. It goes back through generations on my mom's side. I don't know about my dad's side, maybe on that side too, but I know that, on my mom's side, it goes back at least my grandmother. And so she is, unfortunately, my grandmother is not with us anymore. And, but she always told us to like, look at the sky. And she always told my mom, like, of course there's, you know, of course there's stuff from, you know, outside of this planet. It would be really self-centered to think that we are the only ones here. So, you know, she was always very open about that kind of stuff as well. So after all of this happened, I kind of started putting pieces together. You know, it was really weird to hear my family opening up about all of this strange UFO activity and then the lights filling up with house. And my sister remember these beings coming up to my crib and they were like looking for me. And that's all like pretty jarring to take in, but over time it's kind of settled in and I started thinking back to some other things that had happened and started putting some pieces together. One thing that happened, again, as a kid, I was very sensitive, could sense things and feel things, and see things, even full apparitions and so on. So I've always been very, very sensitive, but there have been some like really unusual things that I never could explain. And I didn't know what category to put them in. So now that I've done some research, I've learned about screen memories. And I think that this might be what was going on. But one time when I was young, I was probably 5 or 6, I saw a wolf walk into the basement of our house, just walked right in. And then I don't remember anything after that. And it was in the middle of the day. Like I wasn't sleeping. I was standing in the basement and I saw this wolf walk in and then I don't remember anything. Another time I was, and this is weird because I've always questioned myself as to whether I was awake or asleep. It felt very much like I was awake, but it was so strange. And I don't remember what happened afterwards. So I'm not totally sure. But I was driving down Route 8 heading towards Stewart, towards the home place. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the road, and it was nighttime, in the middle of the road, there was this 4-foot-tall white owl standing in the middle of the road staring at me. And it didn't move. It didn't fly away. It just stood there staring at me. And then I don't remember what happened after that. And then another one that I think might be a screen memory was I was sitting outside of that little house that I lived in Blacksburg, and I was kind of having a really rough time at the time going through a breakup and everything. And I was just not in a good space. And I was sitting in my car and it was weird. It was at night, but my yard seemed pretty bright. But at the time, it didn't seem unusual for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I guess I was just kind of out of it. But there were like 20 rabbits running around my car, running as fast as they could around my car. And they would jet off in different directions and come back and run around my car. And I have never seen anything like that with rabbits before, but I'm not sure what happened after that. I don't know. But in my mind, it felt like a sign that like everything's going to be okay. So it was relieving, is when you see like really beautiful animals in nature, when you really need to get a nudge from the universe, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. It kind of felt like that. That may have been a screen memory. I was reading Communion. I haven't gotten all the way through it yet, but they had mentioned that a guy had seen a bunch of rabbits running around him and then people witnessed him being taken. So I wonder about that time too, but I really don't know. But beyond that, I also had an experience where I woke up one morning in that house where I lived alone. I woke up one morning and it felt I had been, okay, this is going to sound kind of strange, but I was single at the time. It felt like I had had like really, really rough sex the night before. I was bruised internally, externally. I was in a lot of pain, and nothing had happened the night before that I was aware of. And I hadn't been with anyone for quite a while, and woke up just completely, kind of wrecked. And I never knew what to make of that. Looking back, and I've actually gotten some more information from the records as to what happened there. But looking back now, I'm realized that something had happened that night and I just didn't remember it. So that was pretty rough. I have woken up with scoop marks out of my lower back, just like little scoop marks. And in the first Akashic Records reading, on November 11th, when she had told me I go up on ships regularly, she also told me that I had an implant in my stomach, left side, on the left side. And after the session, she was, I'm going to do some Reiki on you. And I had my eyes closed. I didn't know what all she was doing, but she was doing Reiki. And I felt this really strong sensation of what felt like something in my left side. And it felt like it almost get dislodged a little bit. It was pulling up towards the front of my body. I was laying on my back and there was a lot of sensation around this super pinpointed area. And when we got done with the Reiki session, I was, hey, I don't know what you were working on, but that was very weird. And she said, yeah, I was sending Reiki to the area around your implant in case there was any like scarring or whatever. But I actually felt where it is in my body, and it's to the left of my solar plexus and down just a little bit. So that was very strange as well. And I've woken up with weird bruises and not known how I got them. So, and it wasn't unusual for me to have missing time when I was younger. It just, oh, where did the last 2 hours go? I have no idea. And where I lived alone for so long, who knows? I have no idea. I didn't have anyone to like reference off of, but it would not be unusual for me to feel like, holy shit, literally, I just lost a couple hours there or a few hours, sometimes more. Now, since November 11th and all of this started, when all of this started happening, a lot more started coming to my awareness as far as like what's happening in the middle of the night. I will wake up in the middle of the night and I'll be getting downloads of information, and it feels just file after file is being dropped into me. And it feels, it's very hard to describe, but it feels multidimensional. I'm awake, I'm laying in my bed, but it feels like I'm kind of in this multidimensional space where I'm seeing 3D symbols of light and like mandalas and things of light. And these symbols that contain information, and they'll like infuse into me and I'll understand what it means. And it's really, this is very weird and it's hard to describe, but it's, I'm getting all of this information. I'll have visions. I've gotten information about the planet and kind of the state of the planet and the rebalancing of the planet. I've gotten information around darker agendas and energies kind of pushing in on the planet, and an awakening that's occurring. And I think that, I know the connection between experiencers and spirituality is pretty, they kind of go hand in hand a lot of the time. And that definitely has been the case for me. And yeah, so it's, that has been very interesting. One night, we'll start with New Year's Eve. On New Year's Eve, I was going to try astral traveling for the first time. But it ended up kind of being a rough night because it was New Year's Eve and partying was going on. I was not partying, but the rest of the world was. And I really didn't get much time to meditate or do whatever before going to sleep. So I just put out the intention when I went to lay down. I was like, okay, if I'm meant to astral travel tonight, I will. I'm totally open to it. So I guess that's all I can do right now. And I went to sleep. The next thing I know, I'm having this weird dream, not dream, same kind of situation where with the first time when I was on the ship with the gray. And I was on this road that looked really familiar in Virginia. And I was with my partner and he was kind of tipsy. And somehow in this dream, not dream, he kind of wandered off down the road and we got separated. And there was a UFO over over me, and it was a disc, a large disc. And then there were two grays, short grays, like maybe 4 feet tall or so. And they both walked towards me. And in this dream, not dream, I was, hey guys, you know, they looked really familiar. Everything felt safe and comfortable. They came up and they both took one arm and they were facing towards me still, but they would take my elbow and my hand on either side. And we just started raising up into the ship. Like we were literally raising up, and it was this very strange sensation. We get up onto this ship and there's a pilot, and I didn't like talk to the pilot or anything, but there was a pilot and these two grays who had brought me up. This is going to sound so strange, but I was up there and I was like, oh shit, I should probably tell Chris that I'm up on a ship and I'll catch him later. So I pulled my phone out to tell him, text him like, hey, I'll see you later. And when I looked at my screen, it was bright blue, and I don't know what time it was. I don't know. It may have been, I don't remember like seeing an actual time, but there was a symbol, like a white rainbow, over where the time would be instead of the bars for reception or whatever. And it was just a symbol of a white rainbow. And then I don't remember anything else. So I don't know if that was astral traveling or what that was, but that was pretty cool. Then in late January, so maybe like close to a month later, I woke up in the middle of the night and it was weird. I could feel that something was off in the house, kind of like that magnetic pull that Tom and I felt out at the observatory. It feels that in the house sometimes in the middle of the night. And then sometimes I'll get downloads. Sometimes I don't remember anything, but it was this weird magnetic kind of strange energy in the house. And I tapped my phone, looked at the time, left to use the restroom, was gone like a minute, came back, and my partner was, hey, where have you been? And I was like, I just ran to the restroom. And when I laid back down, I looked at my phone and 45 minutes had passed. And in my mind, it had been like a minute. And in reality, it had been 45 minutes. So that was, I think, the most recent time that I have missing time where someone else was actually aware of it this time. And then, so early February, Chris and I were both sick. So we were staying at home and kind of quarantining or whatever. And I was laying in the bed and started feeling these downloads happen. And when these downloads are happening, it also feels energy work. Like if you've received Reiki or some kind of energy work, it feels like some kind of healing is happening as well. It's hard to describe, but so I was experiencing this and I was kind of getting frustrated because I was, am I going crazy? Is this actually happening, or is this all just in my head and am I making all of this up? I put out with my thoughts, I put out very clearly, hey, if something is happening right now, if this is actually happening, I need a clear sign that I cannot mistake something in the 3D right here, right now. Otherwise, I have no idea if this is even actually real. So I laid there and we had like a humidifier on the right side of the room, and it would make kind of like this bubbling noise every once in a while. And I was just laying there and would hear this noise here and there, and I didn't hear anything else. And then a few minutes later, I hear a really strong tap, 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 5 taps. On the window, and it sounded like someone was using their finger, but tapping really hard on the window. And holy shit, that it kind of was a little scary, but I immediately dismissed it and told myself, oh, that could have been anything, which I don't know why I did that, but I just kind of dismissed it. 2 minutes later, it happened again. It was tap, 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 tap. It was 5 taps. 2 minutes later, roundabout, it happened again, a third time. And it tapped 5 times. And at this point, I was really nervous. I was, there's something actually outside of the window, and I don't know if I'm ready to come like face to face with it in waking life right now. But eventually, I convinced myself, okay, just get out of bed and look. But it had been a few minutes since the last taps. And I opened the curtain. There was nothing out there that I could see. But to me, that's really all that I needed as a kind of clarification that this is not all in your head. This is actually happening. And it's, you know, it's actually really good for me to hear from my family. Yes, lights were filling the house. Yes, we saw UFOs. My brother seeing UFOs, my partner noticing that I was missing, all of these different things. It's actually really helpful to have other people kind of corroborating. So I'm not, because it's very, very strange. You do feel losing your mind sometimes with all of this because it's just so out of the ordinary and it feels very multidimensional. And we're told that, you know, what you see is what you get. This is all that there is. And then obviously there's religious beliefs that say there's more out there, but you have to believe this, that, and the other. And only I know, and you have to listen to me and blah, blah, blah. So like, it's very different from what I grew up with as far as what is possible as far as our actual reality. And my mind has been blown essentially in the last year. My mind has literally, it feels like my mind is expanding further and further out at such a fast rate. It's really hard to keep up with, but it's been really interesting, but it's been really good as well. Very positive experience for the most part.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
So last thing that I'll bring up, when all of this started happening and things were kind of picking up, I eventually set up an appointment with a hypnotherapist in the area who has had experience with experiencers and was comfortable like taking me under hypnosis and seeing kind of what was there, if anything. And the first time I did hypnosis with her, she just kind of said like, okay, go back to a time that was relevant, wherever your subconscious or whatever is wanting to go. And immediately I found myself on a ship and it was November 11th. And I was on a ship at the bottom of the ocean. Actually, I wasn't in space. They showed me in hypnosis, they showed me the ship at the bottom of the ocean from like the outside. And then I saw myself in the ship and I was strapped to this table thing. At first I was kind of mostly upright, but I was strapped down everywhere. I couldn't move. And there were grays all around me. And I was freaking out, you know, being restrained is alarming. And I didn't know what was happening. And I was also naked, you know, in front of all of these beings. And that's weird too. I'm strapped to this table thing, but mostly upright here. And there's this one gray who looked really familiar. Like, I've known him for a really long time. And he's tall. And I felt he was standing right in front of me and like staring right at me. And it didn't feel, he felt safe, you know, and incredibly neutral. When I talk about being able to feel people's energy and feeling the energy of the space and everything, with the grays, a lot of the time, it's so neutral that it almost feels there aren't emotions. But I've had other times that were actually very positive where I did feel like very loving emotions from them. But in this instance, it was incredibly neutral, almost as if there were no emotions. And he was standing there staring at me. And then I felt what all I know to call it is like an energy drill. It felt like a very small area that was of energy, really intense energy being shot into my third eye and into my crown simultaneously. And I don't know what this was, but it was working on my third eye and my crown. And then this gray who was standing in front of me held my throat with his thumb on one side and a finger on the other side. And I was kind of freaking out because I was like, am I about to get like choked? Like, what is happening? And it barely constricted my breathing or blood flow or something, but I was freaking out, but it was just barely. The hypnotherapist was, why, what are they doing? Like, can you ask why they're doing this? And immediately when I thought, what is the purpose of all of this? Immediately I got an answer downloaded telepathically that they are opening up a channel of communication. And so it was third eye, crown, and throat. And that was fascinating. After that, it got a little more scary. They actually flipped me back. So now I was laying, you know, I didn't have any clothes on. They had me on my back and I was still strapped down. Basically, this long piece of technology that they had, I'm not sure like what it was for, but they essentially put it up inside of me, and it was painful. Even under hypnosis, I was feeling all of this happening, and it was pretty extensive as far as like kind of, I don't know what all they were doing, but there was quite a bit of pain on my left side and just in general around the pelvic area. And then after they were done with that, they flipped me back up to standing and kind of took all the straps off. And I followed this tall gray back into the next room. And the next room over was this big round room that where I had originally had the dream, not dream. So in the dream, not dream, the one where the gray was standing in front of me with this plant and like explaining to me that something about the humans and the masks, it was that same room. And the same gray who was showing me the plant was the same guy who was holding my throat during the energy drill stuff. And so this hypnosis session kind of ended up in this room where there were like other grays behind him. And they were communicating with me. And then we kind of jumped into some going from there. We did some like communication with another gray to get more information about like what has been going on. There was a lot that came through there. And I would highly suggest hypnosis for people who are ready to delve in. Although I will say, once you kind of open that box, you can't unknow what you learn in there. So I would definitely say like, don't do it unless you absolutely are ready to kind of understand more about what's going on. And it can be really jarring. But for me, it's been really good to understand more of what's been going on. Now, so that was the first hypnosis session. The second one was quite a bit more intense. So just a heads up if anyone wants to skip past this one. But basically this, I wanted to see what happened the night of the orbs at the observatory. So we went back to that night and we kind of, you know, started from when we were on the deck and watching the stars and then the orb coming closer over the ridges, running back to the car, getting in the car, the second orb coming over us. And then from there, I asked the hypnotherapist to put me down deeper because I was worried. I was, well, I don't want my conscious mind to be like coming in and kind of filling in holes or anything. And I asked her, I was like, can you please just put me under deeper so I can step out of the way completely? And she did. And as soon as she was done with that process, this was so weird, but Tom and I and the car all started lifting up off of the ground, up, up, up. And I could see through the car down below me and I could see the treetops and everything. And then I don't remember going up into the bottom of the ship or anything or into an opening. I just remember being in the ship in this huge room that was way bigger than the car. The ceiling wasn't very high. It wasn't like way higher than the car, but the room itself was huge. And the ship that we were on at this point, and I don't think that this was the orb. I think because the orb was not anywhere as big as where I went. So maybe, I don't know what happened there, but essentially we went up, we went into this huge room. And again, the light was the same as like this bright, like yellow, white light kind of coming through this frosted glass kind of stuff. And I look over at Tom, and his eyes are wide open. His mouth is open. He looks like he's literally just so terrified he can't move, but he wasn't making any noise, and he was just staring ahead. And I look ahead, and I see this same tall gray, the same guy, walking towards me from the opening. And it was so weird. It was like he was familiar, and I had known him for lifetimes, maybe. Like, I know this gray. But anyways, he walked over to my car door. I got out of the car and I just followed him, and I was like, oh, we're here again, you know? And so I'm following him through this big room where the car is, and we get into this hallway. And when we get into the hallway, all these short grays, the shorter ones, come out, and they looked really excited. And this is kind of strange. You normally don't really think of grays as being excitable, but they were excited and holding my hands, and they looked really happy for some reason. And I felt I knew why I was there, but I didn't know why I was there at the same time. And when we got through the hall, he led me into this really big, what looked like a surgical room. And then the shorter grays kind of dispersed, and they went elsewhere or stayed in the hall or something. But when I went in with this tall gray, there were a few other tall grays, and there may have been some short grays. I'm not sure. I was kind of freaking out. I will say too, for the longest time, I've had a pretty major fear of doctors and dentists and all the things. And I'm wondering if this might be why, because of these experiences. But there was essentially what looked the same contraption that they had me strapped in with the first hypnosis. It kind of looked like a dentist chair, but it was kind of reclined quite a bit. And I was told to get in the chair. I knew that I was supposed to get in the chair. It was downloaded into me to get in. And even though I was terrified, I didn't want to get into the chair. I also could not stop myself. So I got into the chair. I was, once again, I did not have any clothes on. They strapped me down, flipped me back, and I was having a lot of pain in my pelvic area and around my stomach. And at this point in the hypnosis session, I was having a hard time breathing, and I was freaking out and crying, don't know what's happening. And the hypnotherapist told me that I could watch, like I could kind of exit my body and watch from the side or watch from above. So I went and watched from above and watched myself give birth to a hybrid baby. And this is not at all what I was expecting from this hypnotherapy session. I had been told previously in Akashic Record sessions that I had hybrid children, but I kind of was, no, that can't be real. No, that's not possible. I would know something, you know, right? But I actually watched myself have this hybrid baby. And then I was back in my body and was like holding this little baby girl. And she looked mostly human. She was tiny. She was really little. Her proportions were not exactly human-like, but more human-like. And I got her name, which was Saya. And then I started bawling my eyes out, essentially, because I knew that they were going to take her from me.
It's okay.
Hypnotherapist took me out of that room and let me communicate with my subconscious or my higher self, or I don't know what, but basically as soon as she took me out of that experience, we like asked a bunch of questions of what's happening here. And what was told to me was that, that they wanted me to hold the baby because it was really important that the baby make a connection with me, like an emotional connection. And that I would see her again and that she would be taken good care of. And so instead of going right back to that, we moved forward. We kind of fast forwarded, and the tall gray had led me to another room. And at this point I was, you know, I had my clothes back on and everything. And, he was just talking to me, and he was telepathically. All of this was telepathic, but he was telling me, thank you so much for your service. Like, we're so grateful. And he was saying that every life is cherished and that they were grateful for what I had done. And so when that happened and I realized that I am part of the hybrid program, some other memories and things have come back. And I, in other sessions, have realized that I have way more than one. And I won't get into all of that. But apparently, I've been part of this program for quite a while. And from how I understand it, I agreed to help them before I came into this incarnation, and that I am helping them because they are unable to procreate anymore. And this sounds very crazy. And when I did experience it the first time in hypnosis, I started looking back and realized, you know, I have always had really strange cycles. Like my cycles when I was younger would be really far apart or really close together, extremely painful. I just always had a lot of issues there. I also had a couple of times where I didn't realize that I was pregnant, but ended up having miscarriages. And looking back, whoa, like, I don't know what all of an effect this has had, but I went vegan like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And ever since then, it's been much less painful. But even last year, I had kind of something really strange happen around that too. And I'm wondering if that was the same sort of thing. Yeah. So anyways, that I know that that's kind of more of an intense subject, but that's what happened and kind of came to my awareness. And also reminds me of something that happened back at the home place. And this was in, I think it was 2021, maybe 2020. Anyways, my partner and I were out at the home place in Stewart, and my dog was with us, and there was this tiny little bed that like we could barely fit into, but Bear was intent on sleeping in the bed. So he would not go and sleep anywhere else. So eventually Chris was like, oh my God, I have to spread out. And he went to a different room upstairs, and Bear went with him. Thanks a lot, Bear. Like, you know, that's fine. You know, I get it. He loves his dad. So they're upstairs and I'm downstairs and I fall back asleep. And in the middle of the night, I woke up, but I was facing the wall, so I couldn't see the rest of the room. My left hip was on the bed and my right hip was up and I was facing the wall. And I had this really crazy feeling in the room. It was, you know, I know I talked about that house having a lot of paranormal activity. This was not that. This is not the same thing. It was, and all the spirits in that house have always been very peaceful, loving. But this night, Chris and Bear were upstairs. I was on my bed. It pushed whatever this was. I was paralyzed. I couldn't flip over. And I don't have sleep paralysis typically, but I was literally paralyzed. And whatever this was behind me pushed me down into the bed really hard. Like there was a lot of pressure and I actually got pushed further down into the mattress. And then I felt a needle go into my hip and it was white hot pain shot into my hip. And then after, I don't know how long, maybe like 30 seconds, the paralysis lifted and I flipped over as fast as I could and looked and didn't see anything. But that, I wonder if that had to do with this program in some way. I don't know. Like it definitely seemed they needed something physically from me, but it's hard to tell. Looking back at all of these different things that have happened, is I don't know what all goes together and what doesn't. And if I'm just trying to put things together to like help myself make sense of all of it, or if it actually all is from the same beings. I have also things come up with a different race with the reptilians. My experiences with them have been very different and have not felt as positive. I don't know as much with them. I know that there's a lot of, they get a lot of flack, and I'm not saying anything about, I think they're a lot like humans and that there's all kinds, you know, there's there's ones with all different kinds of intentions, but my experiences with them were definitely rougher. And so I don't know who was there that night, but somebody was there and they like held me down and shot something into me or threw an injection or took a sample of something. I'm not really sure. But and then the last thing that I would say is my partner actually woke up in the middle of the night a couple weeks ago and saw a tall being, probably I would say 7 feet or taller, because it was almost up to the ceiling and it was standing in front of the curtain, which is right over by my side of the bed. So it was only like 5 feet from him. And he said he couldn't make out any features because it was dark, but this being was really tall and it was standing in the room. And he immediately, first he was full of terror, was like, holy shit, what is that? And then he immediately told himself, that can't be real. That's not real. And he like just got up and went to the bathroom and came back and did not look back where this being was. And he just avoided it and laid back down and went to sleep. So I'm curious as to what that was, but it appears that they're starting to be more comfortable with him being aware a little bit more too. So yeah, that's about it. I know I kind of jumped around timeline wise. I tried to keep it where it made sense, but I may have jumped around a little bit. But yeah, that's about it.
You did great. That was okay, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
It can be difficult, especially when you go into some certain areas and regression does this. You kind of go in a little bit deeper. There's emotion. When people have connections with the hybrid program, you know, there is an emotional attachment. Of course there is, you know, and it is very difficult. And that is something which needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually would love to hear from other experiencers if anyone would ever like to reach out and talk. I can leave my email maybe, but I would love if there are other experiencers who want to, you know, just kind of talk about it. I would love to hear from you, and definitely anyone from who's experiencing hybrid program stuff. Like, I think it's one of those really weird subjects where you can't just talk to most people about it. They look at you like you're crazy. So I think more open dialogue around that, because I think it's way more common than we realize, honestly, like way more common. So yeah, I am definitely open to a dialogue with whoever would like in the future.
Wonderful. Okay.
Well, I hope that all of this kind of helps open up the conversation a little bit more around all of it. And I know your show has helped me tremendously, just hearing other people talk about their experiences, and has kind of helped me kind of put some things together for myself. And I greatly appreciate you letting me come on here and tell my story. It was, it feels really good to kind of get it out there. It felt good even just to like write the email to you and kind of get it all down on paper, but actually talking about it is next level. Just feels really good. And I greatly appreciate it.
It is liberating. And Indy, there'd be someone listening to this now, which have been going through stuff. There's no one for them to reach out to. People hear in your account, you know, this has helped you, and then someone else is going to hear it, and it snowballs like that. It helps people. So I don't, like I said, I probably said this a million times, I don't look at this podcast as being entertainment. It's more of a kind of like a forum in a way, you know, to try and build some kind of connection, some dialogue.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I know I appreciate it. I know a lot of people do. And it's my favorite podcast. Like, I go back into the archives. I love the throwback too. So yeah. And it really helps to talk about it. And I hope this helps anyone out there who might be going through something similar. And again, if anyone wants to reach out to me, I would be happy to have a conversation over email if you want to leave that. And yeah.
Yeah. To any listeners out there, anyone that wants to reach Indy, email me and I will forward it on. The good thing, you know, the good thing about your experiences is your family, you know, your family have had all these experiences as well. So it's not like you're on completely on your own. your brother's experiences, your mother, your grandmother. So obviously this is generational. So, you know, you're not the first one.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely interesting to find all of that out. I wonder how far back it goes. Probably goes way further back than my grandma, but who knows?
Now, it's interesting when your mother had the sighting in 1987 with the triangle, and then, you know, you spoke to your sister and she said, you know, this event happened. So that was exactly the same time when she hid in a toy box.
Yes.
Your father wasn't there at the time.
Right. Not for that one. He was there for three other times, like where both my mom and dad were in the house with me and my sister, where the house filled up with lights three other times at least. But in that occasion where my sister hid in the toy box, she was supposed to be kind of like staying with me while my mom was out in the yard.
And have you been regressed to that particular time yet?
Not yet. The next session that I have with Amber will be going back to that time, because that's the one I'm most curious about, is what happened then. There's no telling. I think there was a lot happening when I was a baby, so it may take several sessions to get through it all, but that's definitely the next thing I'm looking into.
Okay. And your friend Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was present at one of the sightings and that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you spoke to him about it? You know, what has evidently come out about overhypnosis?
Yeah, so I did not tell him about the hypnosis session. I talked to him I talked to him just to get more information about what he remembered. I haven't told him about what I saw in hypnosis, and I don't know, like, when I was under hypnosis and I saw him, he looked terrified. He looked like legitimately in shock. And when the hypnotherapist asked what happened with Tom while you were having all this happen, and I just got downloaded with an answer of, he's part of the program too, but they took him into a separate area. But I'm a little apprehensive to tell him that, because I feel like that would kind of open up a whole can of worms for him. I'm not sure that would be the right thing to do for his sake. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely caution with that. Obviously, you know him better. So, you know, if you ever decide to do that, then obviously we'll have caution. He then went on to have another experience with his mother and the house and the light, so it's quite obviously he's connected. He just wasn't guilty by association or anything.
No, I think him and maybe his mom, I have no idea, but I think he has his own connection with them. We just happened to both be out, and I don't know if I mentioned this when I talked about the orb coming towards us, but it seemed like it was aware that we had gotten there, like we had gotten up to the observatory, and it started moving directly towards us as if it was waiting for us to get there and then came to us. And then the other one kind of back behind the ridge where we had hopped back onto the road and started going down, it came right over the treetops. Like, it was super low. It was just barely over the treetops. And it was waiting there. We didn't see it come in from that side. It was like waiting there for us. So it felt very much like this was kind of set up, that we were both supposed to be there that night. Maybe just like a two-in-one kind of, we'll just knock them both out in one go.
It's usually orchestrated.
Yeah.
People would get up in the middle of the night and they'd go for a drive somewhere in the middle of nowhere into some woods.
Yeah.
It's the way it's done.
It's kind of like at the beach in Oak Island, where I was basically directed to go to this very specific spot on the beach on the other side of the island. And I was okay, you know, and just went on to the other side at a specific spot where it was like right ahead of this entrance. So it feels very orchestrated for sure. It feels, and it's strange to explain, but it's like a pull to do something that you can't not do. With the chair, when I was, they basically told me to get into the chair and I really didn't even want to get in the chair, but I couldn't stop myself. It's kind of like this, you can't stop yourself sort of situation.
Wonderful. Okay. Indy, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that all for our listeners today.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. And thanks for having me. And I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. You enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right. You too, Nick. Thank you.
Thank you, Indy. That's it, I'm afraid, for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Indy for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.